The following program is brought to you in living color.
Hello and welcome to Land and Nation. My name is Mark and I am talking tonight, as always, from down south, Kelly Milky. How you doing, Kelly?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this.
I'm just delighted at the idea of a flapjack concert over here. So,
you know, it's not a bad idea. Like, if we were to do like a live show of this, it would be really kind of interesting. We could just throw out little silver dollar pancakes to everyone.
Yeah, I like it.
We just have somebody on stage.
Catch them in their mouths and stuff.
It'd be like those old Lollapalooza shows or like the Jim Rose sideshow things where they have like sword swallowers, except what we have we have a hibachi guy on stage and he's just cooking pancakes and throwing them into the audience.
Yeah, I like it.
That's not bad. And crepes. Hey, crepes.
I love crepes.
Yeah, me too. Good crepe. Are you kidding me? Welcome to the show. Get ready for some rabbit holes, people. Today we're talking about Flapjack Concert, in case you didn't already notice.
Which is from Banana. A.K.A. Bonanza.
But this goes way back. This is January 3rd, 1965. You know, this is
this is crazy. Old Banana.
This is over 4 years before Woodstock.
You know? Yeah, pretty crazy, huh?
That is pretty nuts when you really break it down like that. And I don't know. I think that this was a very funny episode. I thought it was not necessarily relevant. None of these are really relevant, but
I mean, relevant to what?
Like to today's television. I guess I don't know. I guess you're right. Like, what would it be relevant to? I guess maybe it feels a little dated for television. Maybe that's where I should have gone with that. But that's okay, because I don't mind dated television.
I thought the episode was really funny, which this was the second time I watched this one. So kind of recently, I was just watching Bonanza, like kind of binging it on a weekend, a couple weekends ago. Mm-hmm. And this episode came on. And I thought it was pretty funny. And I think that, I mean, it's a really good Little Joe episode. So we get plenty of Michael Landon, since this is Landon Nation. But then, of course, it's a funny Haas episode as well. Little Joe. And I really like, I think that Haas and Little Joe are a pretty good kind of like comedic team together.
Yeah. So
these episodes that we get, like, where they're kind of teamed up together, I think are always pretty funny. I think they work off each other really well.
You know,
and the Little Joe character is, I think, actually a pretty funny character. Like, I think, like, his mannerisms and his voices that he uses, and he kind of has, like, you know, these little sounds that he makes. And we get that a lot in this episode.
Yeah, a lot. Like, some of the sounds he makes are strange. They're really out there.
But I think it's pretty funny. And then I was actually thinking when I was watching it today, getting ready for this, that so how Little Joe is, which he does kind of change, because in later Bonanza, we get kind of some more dramatic, you know, type stuff. And I think that kind of when he started writing some scripts, you know, they got a little bit more dramatic. But the kind of comedic character of Little Joe that we get here, it's actually quite different than, you know, the Michael Landon that we get in Little House or Highway to Heaven, which, of course, there is funny stuff in those shows, too. I mean, I think Michael Landon, he had a really good sense of humor, as we know.
Yeah.
But
this is like sitcom level, this episode.
But in Little House and Highway to Heaven, which I would say, like, if we're just looking at kind of the trajectory of his career and, like, you know, his kind of like three main shows that he was in. Bonanza overall, his character is a lot more lighthearted compared to like Little House and Highway, where actually I think that in Little House and Highway, the kind of character he's playing, I think, is actually pretty similar, even though the settings of the show are very different. But we have like these times where he's going on these like big like Michael Landon speeches, you know, like when he's like fixing people's lives and stuff like that. And, you know, we'll have those like speeches where you can just kind of imagine like, this is like his pinnacle. Like, you know, like this is like, he like wrote the episode around like having this scene where he could just like, you know, give this little speech and kind of reform people.
So you go, you want to give up? I think that's a great idea. Maybe we should all give up. You know, everybody's really happy that you didn't give up when you were in the wagon and it fell over. Maybe you should just
I think that he pulls off that kind of thing, I think, really well. And like the drama and everything. And we had just recently talked about like in Going Home, for example, in Little House, super dramatic, and he pulled it off so well. And we do get drama in Bonanza, of course. Like we have, I mean, the episode when he matter of circumstance, very dramatic, you know, and he does that well and everything. So we get some of that. But his character in Little Joe is very different than like what he ends up being later, I think. And that it's not Little Joe, especially in earlier Bonanza, is very much just more like lighthearted and like comedic.
Yeah, well, especially this episode. This episode is like, it may as well be a comedy, and it's super enjoyable. It goes by very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. One thing I was just thinking is, you know what would be really good with pancakes, with flapjacks, rather, is bananas. You know, we call bananas
a banana.
So banana pancakes, you know.
Yeah.
Not bad.
You know, bananas kind of go with everything, though. They're kind of one of those foods.
Not vinegar, though. As
no, but.
That was like a weird thing at the end. You know, like where Haas is like, you got to mix it up. Here, use vinegar.
Like, yeah, that was weird. Haas is like, I'll eat anything.
Now, have you ever done any type of eating contest?
No, I have not. Yeah.
Like, I don't. It's just one of those things where I'm like, if I were to go out and eat, I'm like, oh, man, I just ate a lot. But I don't know if I could duplicate it, you know? You have to be in the mood to eat a lot. But when I did this other podcast, I think I've told you about, called On the Odd, one of the things I used to do is reach out to people who do weird things on YouTube. And some of the people who I spoke to were competitive eaters. And these people, they eat a tremendous amount of foods. You know, like I spoke to Randy Santel, who, and this one woman, Molly, I'm forgetting her last name, but this woman literally will go on YouTube. I want to say Molly Schaefer. I have to look it up. But she will, you know those big blocks of cheese, like cheddar cheese that you can buy at like Costco or something like that? It's just like a 3-pound thing of cheese. She ate like five of those, right? And this is like a woman who is super skinny. It's the weirdest thing of all time. It's disgusting.
So when you talk to them, did they, or like, I mean, I don't know how in depth you talk to any of them. Like, did you have a full interview with them or anything?
Yeah. More than you would think.
Yeah. So did they go into kind of like their training process to eat all that food?
Yeah.
Because like, do they have to sort of regularly have these like kind of big eating sessions to like accommodate it?
It's exactly what I asked them. I'm like, how do you prepare for something? And Molly was saying that she just eats, you know, and the way she, like, whenever she starts getting too full, she hears her father in the background, like, of her mind, basically telling, you know, reminding her that they have to get their money's worth at a buffet when she was a kid. So,
wow.
Yeah, like, stuff like that, like, you know, mild child abuse maybe right there. But with that guy, Randy, who still does it, like, this guy eats a tremendous amount of food. And all these people, they do seem pretty nice. They just eat. Like, the way you train yourself is to eat. Which is nuts, right? It's
weird. Well, I was actually thinking that, though, because in this episode, as we'll see as we get into it, basically how they're getting Haas trained for it is that he's, like, being deprived of food. With the thought being, like, oh, you'll be so starving that you're going to eat a ton. But then I'm thinking, like, I don't think that would work. Because it logically seems like you'd have to practice eating a lot of food to be able to eat a lot of food.
Yeah.
But then also, like, I know that I've had times in my life where for various reasons, like, I just don't eat much for a couple of days. Like, maybe I'm, like, super, super busy, or I just, like, feel a little off or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't really eat much for, like, you know, 2-3 days or whatever. And then you're just like, oh, my gosh, I feel, like, depleted. Like, I really need to eat. But then, like, because you haven't been eating, like, you can't eat that much.
Like, you
know, like, you have to start off with, like, a really small meal. And then you're like, well, this is making me, like, nauseous. This is, like, all I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was kind of like, I don't, or at least that's how, like, in my experience, how it's been. But so I was kind of like, I don't think that I could just, like, not eat for a week and then suddenly I could, like, just eat a ton of pancakes or something.
You know what it is? It's I guess it's logical to think, like, you're going to be so hungry that you can't. It's almost like Thanksgiving, you know? It's like you get so hungry waiting, but then you end up not eating so much, at least with me.
Yeah. Well, then sometimes I think if, like, you're too hungry, too, then it's almost like you just, like, eat too fast and fill up so fast that you're, like, you end up not eating that much, you know?
But it's a rabbit hole I recommend people do, like, go down on YouTube if you have the stomach for it.
They're going to say, like, training for the food. That's just, I recommend everybody trains for a food contest.
Well, one of the things coming up is Molly Schuyler. That's her name. One of the things coming up here in New York, which is kind of big, is the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a big deal. And so that's it. You know, and we might actually go to that.
Didn't that one guy who was like a really famous guy from that, and he get like banned from it or something because he took some like sponsorship?
This one guy, Kubayashi, I think he's a Japanese guy, he was banned from it. But then there's this other guy whose his last name is Chestnut, and he took a sponsorship. So you're automatically banned because you have to be an amateur in order to compete in the Nathan's.
Yeah. I heard about that one recently because that was kind of recent that happened, right? That he was banned.
Welcome to Gorge Nation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those kind of weird rabbit holes to go down, and it's kind of gross. But anyway, so back to flapjacks. Let's play our first clip where I think that Ben has a real grip on his kids in this episode. A little too tight. I think you agree.
It is crazy. Like, this family dynamic, which we've talked about this before in Bonanza, it's really, really crazy. But especially in this episode, I'm like, this is insane. His kids are adults and he is treating them like they are teenagers.
Yeah, it's crazy. I like how you call him Papa Cartwright.
Yeah.
Papa Ben.
Not coffee?
No, thanks, Paul.
You know, we could even say, like, is he a bit of a Papa Malo?
You know, I would say, I don't think he's a bad dad, but I think he's a controlling dad.
But see, like, that's a little bad. Like, I don't think he's bad in kind of the conventional, what you would think of, you know, bad dad sense. And I don't think he comes across on the show necessarily as a bad dad. But, I mean, if you knew a family like this in real life, you'd be like, wow, that's pretty messed up. You know, like, the dynamic is pretty weird.
Well, I'm trying to find out, like, you know, you've heard of the term helicopter mom and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right?
Like, what do you call the dad? A helicopter dad? You know?
Yeah, I guess.
It's a helicopter parent all of a sudden. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely, or even, there's a lot of comments for mothers, like a smother. There's not too many for fathers.
Cool.
I don't know. But it's like going to a baseball, like a little league game. Like, the dads are nuts.
Yeah.
You guys will see it. It's coming. You'll see. It's crazy. But yeah, I guess Ben would be, he's just too controlling. And
eye on the ball.
Do you think
at kids' baseball games, they're always like, eye on the ball. Where else would I look?
Heads up.
Yeah.
On the ball.
Yeah.
Wake up out there. Jeez. So do you think he pays them? Like, do you think they get like a salary?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think that I think he just expects them to work for him because they live, you know, like, it's there's like just like, these are my kids. They live in my house. They work on the ranch.
Like, because at the end, we're talking about little Joe paying it back, which means he doesn't have like a big amount of money to just kind of grab from.
Well, right. He has to make all these bets and win them.
Oh, right. You know? Right. It's kind of weird. It's strange.
What's gotten into your young brother lately? Tearing around the countryside? Playing poker?
Hoss is like, I don't mind. I eat his breakfast.
Home at all he's hours. Like 30 and he's playing poker. This is out of control.
It's out of control.
boy.
Coming home after nine.
Just young. Sowing his oats.
I wish he'd straighten out and confine his oat sowing activities to the ranch. Rat him out of bed, will you? He'll spend the whole day there.
I'll get him for you.
As we were clipping this, I'm like, huh, maybe I should go wake up my son.
Yeah.
It was literally waking him up at like 1 in the afternoon.
Well, and the thing that kind of sucks too is like, so when you're an adult, what is wrong with like spending a day lounging around, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't let his kids do that.
Yeah. Not when you own a ranch.
I think if little Joe wants to spend the day in bed, little Joe should be able to spend the day in bed.
You know what? I live on 1,000 square mile stamp of land that my family owns. I'm staying in bed.
Yeah.
How about that? But another thing is, like, how come he has to tell his middle-aged son to go wake up his other middle-aged son?
Yeah, see what I mean? This dynamic is really weird.
Tell Hop Singh to do it. He works here. It's ridiculous. So we go in and... I thought when Haas woke him up, he was hungover.
Right, that's what I thought the first time I saw this episode, too.
So here he goes to Splash Room. This is the beginning of all like the ridiculous sounds. The music is kind of funny. I think it's a harp.
Oh, Joseph.
It's one of our little sounds.
And we also have the sketch of a Native American on the wall. I don't know what that's all about.
What's going on up there?
Oh, don't make me come up there with my belt.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
What's going on up there? It's like, I don't know, get off your ass and come walk.
Right.
Oh, my. Why in tarnation did you do that?
Oh, my head.
Oh, my head.
Oh. Let me see.
Ah! Oh!
Oh. Hey, Joe, did you do that just now?
I don't need you, and I don't want you here.
I like his hair like this. I think his hair looks good when it's cut around the ears.
So I was thinking about this earlier. I was actually going to ask you. I even thought about posting it at our Land and Nation group to be like, what do you like better, like this haircut or like the paw angles where it goes over the ears? And I do think he looks nice here. However, I do think I like the paw angles better.
Yeah, well, this is more modern. Like, this is a little bit more, I don't know, it's a little bit of a cooler haircut. I don't think there's anything wrong with his ears. Do you?
No. So I mean, they're just, like, bigger ears. Like, yeah, they're, like, a little bit bigger, but, I mean, they look fine. Like, it's not like there's any...
But if you look at anyone's ears after 30 seconds, they all look kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, like, my ears are big before if I just, like, sit there and look at them.
Right, it's kind of like anything. You start staring at anything, like, oh no, man.
Yeah, or it's like any word you say it like 10 times in a row, and you're like, that's a messed up word.
Like drawer.
Yeah.
Drawer.
No, I didn't do it just now. It's a long story.
No, I didn't. It's like his weird voice.
Yeah, he does have kind of like this weird, like, kind of really nasally. Mm-hmm. Boy voice going on.
Paul's waiting for you downstairs, and he's in a bad mood.
Oh, just my luck. He's got to be in a bad mood.
One thing.
So, and this is totally like the dynamic that they are living under. It's like you're like a grown ass man, and you're like all like, oh, my dad's in a bad mood.
One of the things I want to do in the future, and I've thought about this in the last like 5 times we've recorded, I want to grab some laugh tracks somewhere. Just kind of insert them. I think this would have been a perfect episode to kind of have a laugh track.
Throw in laugh tracks. Yeah,
I think it could be kind of funny.
Sitcom it up a little bit.
Yeah, why not? We can redo Sylvia that way. That's not nice, Kelly.
That would be crazy.
I can't believe you said it, actually. So yeah, here we are. Everybody's just kind of... not everyone. Like, Ben's just sipping on his coffee. And we have something for everyone right here. We're going to go into... I'm going to do your song.
our new favorite segment where we pair up songs.
We need a name for show segment, openings, right? Like a, we'll think about it. I let it keep playing because I thought it was like really a solid. It kept.
I thought it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it was. It continued. You know, kind of
like it matched up really well with kind of as things were transitioning throughout the opening on screen. I thought it worked out pretty well.
That song, of course, is the classic, the Yardbirds, "For Your Love."
Pernell Roberts always looks really unimpressed with whatever song I pick, though.
He looks kind of like, what's his problem? Everybody's so happy to be there. And all right, so let's cue it up again. Lonely Ben. All right, so this one's a little bit more, something they might have even really used on the show. I wouldn't be too surprised. So here we go.
While driving a herd of cattle out in old Nebraska way, heading east at Broken Bow on a hot September day, trying to get to Omaha, we hoped to find a fire. We never counted in the odds of a western prairie fire. A hot south wind was blowing and the air was getting dry. Something far away was spelling trouble in the sky. Coming closer was a sound that topped the devil's choir. Then we knew we'd have to race a raging prairie fire. Sky, and every heart is quickened, and the spirit every eye. We've just one chance to get away, for there's no place.
And that's it.
That worked out pretty well.
Not bad. It's Marty Robbins.
Pernell wasn't too pleased with it again. But you
know, that guy, he doesn't like anything. I don't know what his problem is. It's a rough he really makes me feel bad about every choice.
I feel like he's judging us.
Does he ever change, like, any season? Or is it always like that? I kind of forget.
I don't know. I'll have to pay attention.
Yeah, I don't pay attention enough. But, like, what is up with that? That's so strange. What a jerk.
I think I've pointed this out before. That's really weird, but it just popped in my head. I think I've pointed out before that one thing I like about the opening of Bonanza is that they're not, like, in the same order all the time.
Oh, they aren't? I didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, they like, appear in different orders, which I actually think is pretty cool because then it's not just, like, I mean, it kind of really makes it seem like it's sort of like more equally weighted, mm-hmm. you know, amongst the four instead of just like one main person terrible. Or whatever.
This is terrible.
Let's see. All right. So Little Joe's just basically revealing everything to Haas that he was bushwhacked over the head. Whoops. Would help if there was audio.
4 o'clock.
Good thing Paul didn't catch you. You'd have more lumps at one.
Ooh. Hoss, I must have laid in that road for hours after they bushwhacked me.
How much did he get off of you anyhow?
Well, I started out with about $20, and after the poker game, I guess I had close to $100.
Wow.
To think that Charles Ingalls was selling his farm for $80.
I mean, this show, they're always throwing money around like crazy. There's this episode when Haas and Little Joe are at this hotel in like San Francisco or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's this woman there that Little Joe like wants to impress. So he's all like, hey, Haas, give me $20. I mean, like, it's just like they just throw money around.
Do you think it's fair to say that maybe they don't really have an understanding of money? They don't have a concept of the importance of money?
Yeah, I think that
money.
They are so loaded that they just are like, never hurting for whatever they want financially. So they probably really don't have a concept of.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
They're just those rich kids.
Story of my life.
Sure gotta tell. What for trouble, little brother? Paul sends you into town to get the mail. You end up in a poker game, win $100, and then get bushwhacked. How do you get in all them messes, anyhow?
Well, there's this new tin horn gambler in town named Traeger. He's bragging everybody about how great his cards were, so.
Some might say that Haas is wearing an unbuttoned shirt in the way that a future Michael Landon would wear.
I think you're right.
I thought I'd show him.
Show him what? Like how to draw to an inside straight?
You know, I did too. I drew an inside straight against him. He was a big loser to me. Yeah.
So let's see. Ben wants them to stop at the post office and pick up a package from Adam, which has a ruby in it. Now they're trading jewels? Like, what is this?
Yeah. it's pretty funny.
It's the weirdest thing.
Sending jewels through the mail.
Like, what is that? And Lil Joe realizes that, we learn it later, but he lost the package. Like, he had picked it up, I guess. And
I think like they stole it from him, right? When they bushwhacked him.
And he's just like it's kind of funny because when he brings it up, his face is really worth watching.
Plain box and send it home. So check at the post office. Huh?
And he spent $1,000 on it, which is insane. I mean, if every dollar is loosely worth $25, we're talking $25,000.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
You feeling all right?
Yeah.
You look awfully pale.
I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, Bob.
I know that. I'll try to make up for tonight, will you?
I want you in bed by 6. Jeez, what is this?
I'm grounding you. You can't hang out with your friends anymore.
You're not to leave the Ponderosa until you get 12 hours in. We have a very nice Founders Day reusable tarp.
Yeah, it's a very, very nice sign. It looks like, are those letters like stitched on it? Like it looks like they're stitching.
Yeah, it's like needlepoint or something.
Yeah, it's a very nice sign.
Very nice. Yeah, like where's that sign right now? It's got to be somewhere.
Right?
Oh, well, she started ordering no supplies. I'll be back in a minute and help you load them.
Wait a minute, where are you going?
Over to the saloon.
Now, Joe, don't you think you got enough trouble without going over there and getting yourself in another poker game?
Look, stop worrying me. I'm not going to get in another poker game, I promise. So we'll see if that tin horn's over there. Whether he skedaddle out of town after he bushwhacked.
Joe, you ain't...
Skedaddle?
I actually, I kind of like that word. But one thing that I remember thinking like the first time that I saw this is that he's all like, you know, has this horrible headache and everything because he was like basically knocked out in the street when they robbed him. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty crazy. Like he was knocked out on the street for like hours after he was robbed. And I'm like, he's like lucky they didn't kill him, right?
Right, you could have a concussion or something.
I mean, that was like the first thing I thought. I was like, I these shady ass people come into town and they like rob you and everything. And I'm like, you're lucky that they like did not kill you or just like shoot you, like either hit you so hard on your head that you die. Shoot you or something, which seems like a really realistic possibility in a place like this, too.
Now, if we could circle back to the word skedaddle for a moment.
Yeah.
Is this a word that you would, do you use the word skedaddle?
I think I have used it, but it's not something that I would, like, regularly say. But, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if the moment feels right.
I have a challenge. You have to use it at least once at work next week. It's my skedaddle. Challenge. Yeah. You have to use it unironically.
I think I could probably make that work.
That actually would be kind of a fun challenge, just to use a word from Bonanza unironically in your everyday life. If you do it, I'll try.
daddle.
I'll even record it. I'll mention it to like some the go to Little and say use the word skedaddle. All right, guys, got a skedaddle. I don't mind the word. It's just I think that it's a word that I would not expect somebody to use in a 19th century Western.
Funny or not?
He almost is wearing like purple pants with a green jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to cost you 10.
Morning, little Joe. What do you have?
Nothing for me, Sam. Just killing time. Say, has that Traeger fella been around?
You getting in on it, too.
Getting in on what?
Flapjack contest.
The what?
The flapjack eating contest Saturday. You know, on Founders Day. Merchants Association sponsoring it. Here, just sign up for it.
How many flapjacks could you eat? Pancakes. I call them pancakes. When I was a kid in cartoons, like Woody Woodpecker, they called them flapjacks. But
yeah, I think I've always called them pancakes.
Yeah.
I could probably eat
3 or 4. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
They could be filling.
If I'm hungry, I could do like 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah. I have a challenge. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Flapjack contest. What's Traeger got to do with it?
Well, he's taking bets on Big Ed Simpson winning the contest. That's why I thought you wanted him.
He's taking bets, huh?
Yep. Given 5-1 if Big Ed Simpson wins the contest.
Hi, little Joe.
Hi,
give me
two
beers.
Right.
Hey, well, where is Traeger?
In the back room.
Right.
So he goes and visits
Question.
Him. What?
The women that work at the saloon, do they offer services or are they just like eye candy that serve beer?
I mean, are they bar wenches?
Yes.
I think that these are ladies of the evening. I think.
Yeah. So you think that there is some prostitution going on?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and this is kind of an upscale joint. It's a pretty nice place.
I think it's kind of surprising how well lit it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been in a bar so brightly lit.
It has very tall ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Two beers.
All right, so this guy's disgusting. And I don't know what he's eating. It almost looks like key lime pie or something, or some type of custard.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever he's eating, it's not messy enough to get all over his mouth. It's like it stays together enough. It's weird.
He's like,
he's like the Cookie Monster.
I hear you're throwing all kinds of money around, Traeger.
What?
Well, last night after the poker game,
what?
You said you were broke. Now you're throwing all kinds of money around in some contest.
So Little Joe thinks that this guy robbed him, right?
Right.
And that he wants to see if this guy's throwing money around.
Well, it ain't none of your business, but I ain't throwing no money around at all. All I'm doing is making bets on Big Ed here winning the flapjack contest.
Flapjacks is my favorite.
Dude's shaking, like, from all the sugar in his body.
Favorite food.
Look at that. He's, like, trembling.
I love that face that Little Joe gives him.
He's disgusted.
I think that's, like, all of us watching that guy, too.
Especially when the prize is $500.
That's my face when I'm watching Molly Schuyler on YouTube eat, like, you know, 5 3-pound bars of cheddar cheese.
Now, Big Ed, you simmer down. Stop your bragging. Otherwise, I'm going to have...
Now, what is better than having some type of pie and washing it down with a nice beer? Those two things just don't go together.
I have to raise the odds on you.
You know?
So how are you going to pay off if he loses?
Big Ed ain't going to lose. But if he does, the payoff is my business. So like I was saying, I'm taking bets on Big Ed at 5-1, and I'm paying off by the book.
Put me in for $10.
What an idiot!
What's up?
His face.
I like that laugh. That was awesome.
Wait, I'm
paying
see
off
that
by
again.
The book.
Put me in for $10. What's so funny?
That's funny.
I'm afraid this deal is a little too big for you, Little Joe.
The way his face right here, the way he pushes his chin out right here is hilarious.
When I talked about 5-1, I...
He's like, what'd you call me?
I was talking about $500 to $100.
$500. What is this?
Oh, well, that's fine. Put me down for $100.
Oh, well, Cartwright, $100.
That's right.
And I'll be right here Saturday to collect.
Yeah, you better be right here Saturday to pay off.
All right, so the scam is he's going to sign up Haas. I'm going to play this scene. It's a little bit long. There are a couple things in this that are a little bit long, but I think they're worth watching.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is one of those things where, like, where we really see how Haas and Little Joe play off of each other, mm-hmm. and I think they're a pretty good comedic team.
Yeah, they have great. I think that Haas has great timing. Everything about this is pretty good.
I'll just sign it up for the flapjack contest.
Surprising. Never knew you was fond of flapjacks.
Oh, I'm not. You are.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I just signed you up for the flapjack contest.
That's crazy. If I wanted flapjacks, I'd just get Hop Sing to mix me up a batch.
The winner of the flapjack contest gets $500. Is that a fact? Yep, that's a fact.
So that's like $12,000. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty generous for a Founders Day celebration.
In this little nothing town.
After you win a contest and I win my bet, there's $1,000.
What bet?
Well, Traeger's in there. He's given 5-1 odds that Big Ed Simpson's going to win the contest. I know you can out-eat him any day of the week, so naturally I had to bet against him.
Joe.
Naturally.
All you're doing is making a lot of trouble for yourself. Paul finds out you've been gambling again, he's going to clobber you.
I want to get more
because you're 30.
Right. You're going to be grounded again, little Joe.
Get $1,000.
Until we get grounded.
Adam gets back.
Now, what in tarnation's Adam got to do with it?
Remember when I got bushwhacked?
Yeah.
Well, I also stole a little package that I picked up at the post office.
Adam's $1,000 ruby?
Adam's $1,000 ruby. Seahorse, I gotta get that money. I just gotta.
Well, I'll tell you what you gotta do, little brother. You gotta tell Paul this whole miserable story. Just lay it on the line. Now, that's what you gotta do.
Now, right here, Haas is kind of being Mary in Little House on the Prairie. It's like, what you gotta do is go tell Pa. Is it fair to say that Little Joe's Laura and Haas is Mary?
I can see that. Like, it kind of gets into a little bit of mischief.
Yeah. But Haas is always, you know, kind of a little bit, I don't know, like, less mischievous, right? I mean, at least the episodes
I've seen. Yeah, I think, like, he kind of seems more like he kind of, like, takes a responsibility for Little Joe. You know, like, their dad has these kind of standards for their behavior, and he's very, like, controlling of his adult sons. And I feel like Haas kind of, like, tries to keep Little Joe in line, you know?
Same way with Mary. Mary keeps Laura in line.
But stop to think for a minute. Try to visualize what's going to happen when I tell him the truth. Can you see it?
My letter is T.
Now, wouldn't it be easier just to win the $500?
I mean, so this is like they are afraid that their father is what going to like kick his ass or something, like he's gonna like punish him or something. It's just so nuts to be a full-grown adult and you're worried about your father punishing you like that.
It's insane. Like, it's, you have some issues,
right?
He's such like a sourpuss. Like, he's just so miserable. So let's see, they go back and they're talking to Ben, who's basically just lecturing them.
Oh, he'll be along in a minute, but he's just walking the rest of the way home.
He's walking? What in heaven's name for?
For exercise.
Exercise. Starving him. So you pointed out that one of the gags that we see throughout this particular episode, we also see in Little House, which is so divorce Walnut Grove style. And I love the gag in Little House. And I think that they do it just as well in this. They keep breaking a window.
Yeah, and I think that it is really funny, and it was kind of a pleasant surprise too the first time I saw this episode, because that already was like funny and everything. And then I was like, hey, it's the window thing. Well, like the first time it happens, I was kind of like, okay, that's kind of like how it happened. But then it kept happening. And I'm like, that's the exact same gag.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, it, you know, at the end of Divorce, Walnut Grove Style, he has the window, I think maybe the third time. I forget how many times. And
I think it breaks three times, if I recall correctly.
And that's when the woman who wrote the song drives her horse really fast and Charles has to run out of the way. And it's basically the same type of thing. He picks up this piece of glass and he's just, it's really so similar. It's really funny.
For you to do around here, and I just unload the supplies.
Yes, sir.
So he's saying that he forgot to pick up the window.
Yes, Hoss thought of it for me.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations.
And big windows like that were very expensive back then, but I don't think we're really thinking about that.
I mean, Hoss could have communicated that, but maybe he was going to, but then they got sidetracked because of the whole flapjack contest thing.
Hoss is in training, so...
Hey, what have you got out there, Hopsing? Smells delicious.
Fried pork chop.
Pork chops.
Pork chop I can't even talk.
Yeah, pork chop sandwiches.
Pork chop. I wish I clipped that. That would have been fun.
Oh, I know. I just thought of it. It would have been perfect to have.
I mean, we could just dig it up while...
That's my favorite, Hopsing. Bring them home. Starve them to death. Hungry enough, I could eat fried bear fat.
No, oh, Hoss, please.
Hey, didn't I tell you exercise would improve your appetite? Didn't I?
That's better, buddy.
Oh, yeah, Pa. It's
nice. No, thanks, Hopsing. I don't care for any salad. I'll just have the pork chops.
He's like...
He calls that a salad?
He's just out of his mind. But
I mean, it's like an entire apple, entire carrots, stalks of celery. He calls that a salad.
Yeah, it's insane. He's never had a salad. But so there's a couple curses in this, but I'm just going to let it play through. I just think it's so funny. Oops. Sorry.
You not cooking?
Yeah, you.
Pork chop sandwiches. Oh shit! Get the fuck out of here! What are you doing? Go, bitch! Get the fuck out of here, you stupid idiot! Fuck, we're all dead! Get the fuck out!
My God, did that smell good.
Detect it. Did you know going and you tell me do things. I done running.
G.I. Joe. So you can get this sound.
A little appearance by Carrie at the end there.
You're right. That's very funny. Sounds just like her. She did great.
Mr. Joseph,
I could understand her better than I could in most episodes of Little House.
Or he's like,
I don't need you and I don't want you. You here.
Pork chop sandwiches.
A supper.
Yeah, that's something we definitely have to clip. It's the pork chop sandwiches.
What?
What?
His face. What?
What?
What? So yeah, Little Joe's just like grabbing some pork chops.
Yeah, it's a diet. Oh, it's real good. Carrots and celery and an apple. It'll keep you alive.
It'll keep you alive.
Oh, I'm starving to death after all that exercise. I can't live on this rabbit food.
Look, do you want to win the $500 or don't you?
Well, yeah, but Joe, this ain't fair.
All right, go ahead. Go on, stuff yourself. Eat the pork chops, have the bread, the peas, have dessert. Go on, gorge yourself.
He's like, okay.
Don't worry about the promise you made to me. Go ahead, lose the $500. I've done everything I can do.
Oh, now wait a minute. Hold your horse a minute. I didn't say I wouldn't eat this rabbit food, but I'm just worried about who's going to pick me up when I fall over in a dead faint from hunger.
Hoss, you know you can count on me. I'll be with you every minute till Saturday.
That I thought was kind of a fun line. It's like, I'll be with you until Saturday.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have time.
Yeah, I reckon I could bet on that. If you'll pardon the expression, Paul.
I mean, this is like their fear of their father is crazy.
It's bizarre. It's really just, it's like there's a codependency. There's so much to kind of break down when it comes to.
This family needs therapy.
Yeah, they really do. They need to move away from each other.
Yeah. Well, which Adam finally does eventually.
Well, and with Haas, they have to actually create booby traps so he won't go and like eat food. There's this comedy from the 70s or maybe the 80s called Fatso with Dom DeLuise. Mm-hmm. And to get him to lose weight, they actually chain the refrigerator closed. And it's actually a really hilarious comedy. But it's kind of what this reminds me a little bit of. But so Haas is sneaking around and he gets caught up in one of the booby traps. With his gnarly feet. And little Joe falls off the couch. It's pretty visual. But he catches him and lectures him, sends him back up to bed.
Little Joe, by the way, is once again sleeping in his belt and boots and everything.
But he's ready to go. His shirt.
The man never wears pajamas.
No, his shirt's fully tucked in. He's ready to go. So breakfast next morning, little Joe didn't get too much sleep. Well, that's... all right, so we're going to give Haas what he's eating for breakfast.
Morning, Paul.
Morning.
Hobson, you got any breakfast for me? Hey, where's the apple?
Mr. Jose, apple only for supper.
So it's like another piece of celery and a carrot.
Yeah.
Gonna kill this guy. This little thing is kind of funny with little Joe.
Making it your responsibility, Hoss. And as for you, young man, don't come home without that window pane.
You know you can count on me, Pa.
What the hell is that? He just poured, like, creamer all over his eggs. So strange.
Well, I'm sure trying, son. I'm sure trying.
Like, when you can't count on your, like, 37-year-old son to pick up a window and to not gamble away, like, thousands of dollars, there's something wrong with the family. Let's see. Little Joe goes into town. This thing is kind of funny, and this might be worth playing half speed.
I'd keep you out of trouble.
Trouble was getting in.
Oh, wait. Wait. Sorry.
Sorry. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, where are you going?
In the saloon.
Hey, Joe, I promised Paul I'd keep you out of trouble.
Trouble was getting in trouble. I just got an idea to get us out of trouble. More trouble than we got out of yesterday.
My letter is T.
He totally had that look on his face, too.
Window pane! The window pane!
There's one at the very, very end where he's walking away that I did half speed that I played a few times. It was really funny. So let's see, Little Joe goes in, makes even a bigger bet. He bets, what, $500?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Because he gets some crazy odds, and he just keeps betting and betting and betting. He's a real dummy. So.
You been making more bets with that tin horn?
Shh. Keep your voice down. I don't want him to hear you. He's liable to try to change his mind. Oh, did I trap him? Did I trap him into a bed?
What kind of trap?
He sounds like a weird owl.
Yeah. Wait, actually.
Yeah, he's liable to try to change his mind. Oh, did I trap him? Did I trap him into a bed?
What kind of trap?
See, I figure when Traeger hears you're entering the contest, he's gonna start welching on the bets with Big Ed.
so I play like I'm frightened. You see, I'm worried about the competition, so I get into bed against you.
Joel, just how much you got riding on this contest, anyhow?
If Big Ed loses, I get $500. If you win, I get another $500. $500 and $500, that's the $1,000 I need for Adam, plus the $500 you get for winning the contest. We split that down the middle, and it's a nice little profit for both of us.
Yeah, yeah. What happens if I lose and Big Ed wins?
Don't talk that way. It makes me upset.
I like that line.
Yeah. Yeah? Well, you just stay upset until you can examine the other side of that coin.
Well, if Big Ed wins, I lose $100.
Yeah. If Big Ed wins, that means I lose, don't it? Then what?
20, 25,
100. $2,500 plus that other... Joe, are you crazy?
You stop talking that way.
His facial expressions, Little Joe's facial expressions, actually kind of really remind me of the first Darren from Bewitched.
Yeah, he's so animated. It's crazy.
Don't talk that way. Think how nice it's going to be when I win all that money.
Imagine he was the new Darren.
Wouldn't that be amazing, Michael Landon?
Look what you're doing. You're making me nervous. Sam, let me have another beer.
This is kind of funny.
Hey, yeah, me too, Sam. Just for my
nerves, Joe. No. A glass of water.
What?
You heard me. A glass of water.
Glass of water. Water. All right, so they're just kind of going on and on about this. Little Joe heads out. Slowly.
Sam, is this the strongest water you got?
So they bring the girl in.
Hi, Lily. A little early for work, ain't you?
You run such a lovely place here, Sam. I just can't resist it. Hello, Hoss.
Howdy, Miss Lily.
What you got in the package?
You remember your birthday last month, Sam, when I forgot to get you a present?
Oh, that was all right, Lily. I didn't mind.
Oh, well, I did. And it's been bothering me ever since. So today I got you a present. Got it from Mrs. Hawkins. It's her specialty.
What time is it?
Lemon cream meringue.
So it is a lemon meringue pie.
And I just want to point out, because I mentioned this before, and here's a concrete example of it. This woman, like, her makeup style is totally like 1965.
Oh, completely.
Sam, when I...
So, I mean, it's just like when they have like these people that show up on the show and they just totally have... They like don't even really make them look like, you know, they would reasonably be from the 19th century. You know, they just look very modern people. Yeah.
I mean, look at her. I mean, like, totally. She looks like somebody who would be on Bewitched or something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. The thing went away, by the way. But,
oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm working on it. Is it back?
Did, and it's been bothering me ever.
So yeah, she's feeding the bartender some of the pie, and she's trying to get Haas to eat some.
No, thank you, Lily.
What, Haas? What's the matter? You're not sick or something, are you? Well, I've seen you turn down the best-looking girl in here, but never something to eat. Oh, come on, baby. For Sam's birthday.
So turning down the best.
Okay, so to go
girl.
Back to like if they were like bar wenches, yes, as yes. you put it.
What?
So she did just say, I've seen you turn down. She said like that thing about turning down the prettiest woman in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's kind of indicative of that, right? Because what else would he be turning down if it's not?
I mean, no offense to the guy, but I would imagine, you know, he's not going to attract the best looking.
Now cut that out, Lily.
Why? What's wrong with a little bit of pie?
So it's super tempting him, and then little Joe pops in.
Honey, if not for Sam, then do it for Lil, huh? Please. What's the big idea?
Oh, that's what I like to know. What is a big idea? Where'd the pie come from?
I bought it for Sam, for his birthday, if it's any of your business.
Sam's birthday, my foot. You're working for Traeger, aren't you?
So they reveal the whole deal, and we got a pie in the face.
I'm not that type of idea what you're talking about.
Well, the heck you don't. You've been going with Traeger ever since he came into town. He paid you to tempt my brother, didn't he?
I'm not that type of girl.
And that goes against our theory right there.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know. This is very confusing.
Like, hey, lady, why are you here? Like,
you know, pie maker either, Jezebel.
Oh, Jezebel.
I don't know. It's really good to go either way.
Yeah, I don't. I just.
Lots of conflicting evidence.
This is terrible.
What the nerve?
No, Lily!
And Haas gets a pie in the face, and he starts trying to eat some of it, which I probably would too. I like lemon meringue pie.
I don't know that I've actually ever had lemon meringue pie, but I've had lemon meringue like flavored things, and I liked it.
Have you ever had like those? Oh my god, they're like fruit pies.
Like those little like handheld ones.
Yeah, it'll be like a cherry one. Have you ever had the lemon one?
Actually, I think maybe I have.
It's just like that, which is really good.
Yeah.
And you get the lemon meringue on top, and it's
Those pies actually are pretty good, and they're the kind of thing where if we're on like a road trip or something, and you like stop at a gas station just to get snacks or whatever, and you see those pies, you're like, I'm good with those pies. and then of course you eat it, and then you're kind of like, I don't know, like it's like I don't like eat stuff like that like a lot. So then like
can't.
And then I kind of have like a crash later. I'm like, well, no, I feel like crap, but. It was like totally worth it when I was, you know, eating it.
When I was a kid, those were fried in lard and then packaged. It really, I don't know if they're still fried, but.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is, right? Oh, the 70s and 80s. How I miss you. Let's see. Haas comes home and what is he? I mean, he's looking for Hop Sing.
Mr. Jose, you stay out of kitchen. Mr. Carter, I say take fence to upper pasture. Chop, chop.
All right.
Hop Sing with that crazy ponytail.
Oh, Joe. Paul wants to get that fence in upper pasture.
So, yeah, so little Joe brings in window number 2, I think it is, and he's like, I have to put it somewhere safe. Ben comes home and...
in the house and lay me down on that sofa.
He needs to find a safe place for the window. And then Haas is like, well, I'm going to go in and lay down on the sofa. And then that triggers Lil Joe.
The sofa.
Holy Toledo, the sofa.
Holy Toledo. I feel like that's a more modern phrase.
I kind of think so, too. It's hard to imagine someone saying that in, like... Okay, so it's hard to imagine that at this point, Toledo would have been really on anybody's radar enough that it would be, like, a saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like Holy Toledo... It's Ohio, I believe, is where Toledo is.
Yeah.
I'm looking up the Holy Toledo origin.
I mean, so Toledo, Ohio was founded in 1833. So, I mean, it's been around for a while at this point, but I still feel like it wouldn't really be one of those places that's so, like, why would you be thinking about it? Like, unless you were, like, from Ohio or something, you know?
Well, according to this, that most people are likely exposed to Holy Toledo from the Batman TV show, which would have been around the same time as this. Because I think that Robin would say it, you know?
Are you like, Holy Toledo, Batman?
Yeah, I think he would say that among other things.
Among other things. He said a lot of things.
He said a lot of wise things. So Ben laid down on the couch and broke the window. It's no one's fault, really. We have more.
It's kind of hard to imagine that you would like not notice a window pane on the couch, particularly on it.
Well, I don't know why somebody would put a window pane there. Why wouldn't he just put it in his room? You know, like right below where the window goes. So.
The magic of Little Joe.
Haas gets caught by a mousetrap. It's very visual. Ben is yelling some more.
Now listen to me. Get to bed!
yelling at his little kids.
Yeah, they need to be in bed.
Ever since you...
I'm surprised he doesn't have, like, a baby monitor hooked up, you know, in their
rooms. Listening in and watching. They put a futon in the back of the wagon. And Haas kind of rests the way there, and we have the pancake contest happening. We have a really skinny guy who is competing because his wife's been gone for a while. I think that was the story.
His name is Ira, which I think is kind of a cool name.
I like Ira. Is Ira short for something, you think?
I don't know.
It must.
I mean, what would it be short for?
Iran? I don't know. Iran. Or Iran. Yeah, what is... I feel like...
Okay. It's a gender-neutral name of Hebrew origin.
All right.
Found in both the Torah and the Bible, the name translates to watchful and refers to one of King David's mighty warriors. Then it actually says, this makes for a badass name to inspire baby to be as vigilant and observant as possible as they go through life.
It's also the
badass.
It's also the abbreviation for the Irish Republican Army.
Yeah.
It really is. It's kind of funny. Oh, yeah, because the IRA, right?
Yeah, right.
Kind of forgot about that. All right, well, I still like the name Ira.
Please. With all the contestants here, we can begin. The rules are simple. The man who eats the most flapjacks in an hour wins.
Those are pretty easy rules.
Yeah. Hard to mess that up, right?
Now, if you were competing in this, would you need something on those flapjacks?
It's hard to say because, like, would that make me fill up faster? So then I would, like, eat fewer, you know?
Would you dip it in the water bucket like they do in the hot dog eating contests?
No, gross.
It honestly, you shouldn't even, no one should even watch those things. It's so nasty. So let's see. They started.
Hey, put away.
Take your time. You got a long time. Don't worry about the competition. Just take it easy.
Little Joe's kind of like the coach in Rocky. You could do it. He's a man, not a machine.
It's weird that during the contest, he's even allowed to basically be sitting there with Haas.
Right.
Come on, boy, just keep thinking of that $500. Just keep thinking about it now. Go ahead, boy.
Joseph.
Yeah, Bob.
I gotta say, Haas is kind of taking his time a little bit.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah. Ben wants him to go shopping with him for, like, new shoes. I'm just kidding. We have to buy new shoes, little Joe. You have to buy new slacks. I don't want to. I want to stay here and watch the contest. Let's see. Traeger goes over to the bank.
How's the contest going?
Just fine. I do believe the whole town's out there watching.
Yes, I know. I was counting on watching it myself when the bank closed at noon, but they went up to starting time.
Now, everyone knows Traeger, right? I mean, I have a feeling he's been here for a while. I mean...
Yeah, that is kind of weird that they all know him by name.
And then, yeah, I know.
I mean, we learn later it's not his real name, but...
All right, sir, now, what can I do for you?
Well, you can put the money in this here valise.
What?
You holding up this bank? And shoot the bank if I have to. Now, you just do as I tell you, and you won't get hurt.
Which, by the way, the guy that plays Traeger, I didn't look him up, but he looks familiar to me.
Oh, my God, he looks so familiar. I want to say he was in Little House or somebody who looks like him.
But he just looks super familiar, and he's probably like one of those. He's probably like in a bunch of stuff in the '60s or something, you know, that I've seen. But I just thought he looked so familiar.
Would you flip out if this was Carmen back here from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman?
Oh, wouldn't that be hilarious?
And is that Crazy Storms? You know,
yeah,
he's like a little kid. So they just keep giving him pancakes to eat. The banker comes out.
Stop him! Stop him! He robbed the bank! Stop him!
So who fires their gun? Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy that was chasing after him.
So it becomes like a really big gunfight. But of course, little Joe is holding the pane of glass. And we didn't go into that. So he was buying windows from
glass
the hotel.
From the saloon guy, yeah.
And so the guy wouldn't be able to rent out the room. Little Joe is actually paying for the room, which is insane.
Yeah. So once again, just throwing money around.
Right. It's the Silver Dollar Saloon. Is that? Do we know that was the name? It's kind of cool. It becomes a lot of shooting.
Hey, sit down! Sit down! Wait, you'll be disqualified. It's one of Drager's tricks. Come on!
His bullets.
So, what
flying
is the
everywhere.
Freaking point of his handkerchief being like halfway down his chest like that?
I don't know. He can drop like half of the pancakes down there, and nobody'll know.
It's just hilarious because his shirt is unbuttoned so far, and then he has his napkin like in there. It's just really hilarious.
Also, I kind of like this look. I'm sorry, when everyone runs. So you have like the old water barrels on a piece of wood. I love that. It's so Western. Let's see. So people are shooting, right? And he's like, sit down, you'll be disqualified.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Haas
is probably like, well, if I have to go, this isn't a bad way to go.
Right, exactly. With a belly full of vinegar and...
Sit down, start eating.
And we see it's Wells Fargo and Company Express. So it becomes like just a big shootout. This is kind of fun. Yeah, we got to break through the plate glass window. Like, is it really necessary to break all these windows?
Absolutely not. Well, there's like an open door right there.
Right. Which I do want to play this one thing. Is this it? Oh, here. So little Joe's holding the plate glass window that he got from the hotel, and it gets shot, and he just freaks out and dives around on top of the guy.
All right, that does it.
That's just hilarious.
Yeah, like that's just like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right. So they go through this fight through the attorney's office and jumping through windows. It's crazy. Probably the most action that that the show's ever had. No, I'm sure they do things like this all the time.
Nothing, Joe.
Oh, wait.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Nothing, Joe.
My letter is T.
Well, you'd just go to any lengths to break a window pane, won't you?
I mean, at least he has a good humor about it.
Finally,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
Good job, boy. Good job.
Oh, thanks.
Well, Drager robbed the bank. He was trying to get away.
He what?
Drager robbed the bank. He was trying to get away.
You mean he's a crook?
Sure.
You saved the bank thousands of dollars, boy.
He's like, I just thought he broke my window.
Right, I was just mad.
But now I can't collect my bet.
I thought he was just making my brother miss out on winning $500.
Earned yourself a $500 reward. Come over to the bank and pick it up.
Joe, did you hear that? $500.
Yeah, but that's only half the loaf, folks.
He's like miserable still. It's the weirdest thing of all time. Maybe tell Adam to like screw off. How about that?
Yeah.
Tell him the truth. He was robbed. I mean, is it really that bad?
Listen, that was a pretty slick job you almost got away with there. Now, you are no ordinary bank robber, are you? What's your real name?
Come on, you might as well tell us. We're going to find out anyway as soon as we get you over to jail.
Sure.
We'll give you some pancakes.
Cunningham.
Cunningham. Ain't there a price on your head?
Best day is for bank robbing. $500.
Hey, Joe, did you hear that?
Hey, this is your lucky day, Joe.
$500. That's $500 plus another $500. That's $1,000 any way you look at it.
And the $500 you won for winning a pancake.
Yeah, hey, Sam, where's my $500 at?
You haven't won yet, Hoss. There's still one contestant at the table.
It's the, like, skinny guy.
Ira's still at the table. And in the remaining time, if he eats more than you, he wins.
So this is what I don't get. It seems like he gives up. Like, he's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
That banged Ira. He ain't no bigger than my leg.
Yeah.
All right, let's get this Jasper off to jail.
This Jasper?
Well,
I thought it was weird when he made the comment, like, you might as well tell us your name because we'll figure it out when you go to the jail. But it's not like, yeah, exactly. Like, you could at this point in time pretty easily change your name and, like, people couldn't really track it down like they would be able to now.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do, fingerprint? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
This one looks just like that one.
Tough luck, brother.
Hey, wait a minute. Huh? Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going over to jail, see about my reward.
Uh-huh. First things first.
But my part, what's more important than my reward?
A window pane.
Oh, my God. It's like, get over it. Just put up a piece of
plywood. I mean, let him get the freaking money.
Right. Then he can pay for the...
And then he can buy the rondelay.
Yeah.
Friend Traeger. He's robbing the bank while everybody else was at the contest.
No. How about that? Can't trust nobody no more.
Hey, what's that?
Little trinket that bank robber gave me. Probably a phony.
Yeah.
So, which does confirm that Traeger was the one who robbed Little Joe.
Totally, yeah.
Let me see that.
Yeah.
And it breaks into 100 pieces.
I told you. A phony.
A fugazi. So let's see. They basically all agree, kind of, that it's a fake gem, but it's not going to matter because Adam will want the money regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Which does not make any sense to me. Let's see. We get a little conversation.
And how come nobody's getting all over Adam for buying a fake ruby? I feel like this is a little unbalanced because if Little Joe bought a fake ruby, they'd be all like, oh, Little Joe, you're so, like, irresponsible. Right.
But Adam, you know, it's...
Can do no wrong.
Well, Adam would move out.
It's a fool. I'm going to bust, Hoss. Can't stop now. Just 10 more minutes, and if you finish that plate, you win the whole contest. I'm going to hate flapjacks the rest of my life. I just can't eat another bite.
Oh, sure you can.
Look, Ira. Since Little Joe's all set, I ain't got no interest in winning this contest no more, so I'm going to give you my secret weapon.
I don't need no $500. I own 1,000 square miles.
Yes, sir. You see what happens if you eat all them sugars and them syrups, it gets monotonous. A man needs to shake up his taste buds every once in a while with something like this.
What is it?
I thought it was going to be like whiskey or who knows what, but
vinegar.
It's kind of like if you don't feel well and you get a whiff of like sauerkraut. It's like,
right.
So he runs off, of course. And here comes Adam, the hero of the whole episode.
Oh, yeah, well, as a matter of fact...
Oh, what's wrong? Didn't it arrive?
Yeah,
asking about the package.
Yeah, it arrived. I'll buy it from you for $1,000.
Well, now, what in the world would you want a ruby for?
Oh, haven't you heard? Little Joe's become a collector of rubies, window panes.
Well, you're out of luck if you want my ruby. Man on the stage offered me $1,500.
What?
Now give me the ruby or $1,500.
Well, and what is this? So the guy on the stage offers him $1,500 sight unseen for the ruby.
Right. I mean, there's not
because he had already sent the ruby ahead. So
yeah, it's bizarre, and it's not. It's an uncut ruby, and it's so silly.
Howdy, Adam.
Hey.
I don't see a person on the stage, by the way.
Hey, what
about Ira? Poor little Lyra took sick.
Poor little Ira.
I mean, you want to come?
It's funny that he calls him that because, I mean, he's probably like, yeah, he's physically small, but he's probably like double his age.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, poor little Ira.
Contest?
Yeah, I guess I did at that.
What?
You know, it's like if I won $500, which would have been worth like thousands of dollars, I would be like, yeah, but not him. It's crazy.
Contest? What are you talking about?
Well, what they're talking about, at least what little Joe's talking about, I think, is money.
Hmm? Money, hmm? Let's see. They talk about what money is owed. They go back and forth. And, I mean, it's kind of monotonous at this point. Like, little Joe's going to borrow money, and then he has to pay it back. And they just kind of, they give a big overview of it here.
The way I figured, Joe, what you already owe me and Sam the bartender, I figured it'll take you at least a year to just get even. I reckon that'll be a good lesson for you, little brother.
Oh, I doubt that very much. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to make a little wager that your young brother here takes more than a year to pay you off.
Oh, yeah? You giving any
odds? This is like he's so anti-little Joe.
Yeah, right? He's like, I have no faith in my little son. Also, is it an ongoing thing that Ben is against gambling?
I don't know. I'll have to pay attention in other episodes to see if he is.
Yeah, because it seems kind of a little preachy, even.
What was that?
Hmm? Oh, nothing. Nothing. I was only kidding you, Pa. Just a joke. You know, I don't bet.
Well, of course you don't bet. I know that. But what was that you said a little while ago when Mr. Traeger was taken into custody about a bet being ruined? And while we're at it, young fella, what about these poker playing activities?
Young fella.
Young fella, what are you, 40?
why don't we just talk about that later?
All right, so this is the little thing. I'll play it normal speed, and then I want to go back half speed.
I got a lot of important things to do. I got to get that window pane, and I know that's important. Oh, hello. I know you want that window pane, and I'm going to get it. I promise you. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get it fixed, too, Pa. I'm going to fix it.
When he almost gets hit by the horse, I think it's very funny.
Poker playing activities of yours.
Why don't we just talk about that later? I got a lot of important things to do. I gotta get that window pane, and I know that's important. Oh,
that's
you
good.
Want
that sound.
Window pane, and I'm gonna get it. I promise.
When his voice squeaks here.
I'm gonna get it, and I'm gonna get it fixed too, Pa. I'm gonna fix it.
When he almost gets hit by the horse, it's very funny.
That is really hilarious.
And that brings us to the very end.
I thought it was a really funny episode.
I think it's a lot of fun, this episode. I'm glad we chose to do it because, yeah, I couldn't handle like a serious episode today for some reason.
Yeah, no, I was kind of like in that mood too. I was like, yeah, let's just do something like lighthearted and funny. And I thought this episode was pretty funny.
It was a solid, solid choice.
And I mean, it's a really good Little Joe episode. So I was like, oh, it'll be good for Landon Nation.
Landon Nation! Well, Kelly, thank you so much for doing this episode. As always, I appreciate it. And I look forward to the next one.
As do I. So check out Landon Nation on Facebook. Join our group.
If you're still on MySpace, head on over. No, I'm just
And also check out Dr. Clincast.
Yeah, Dr.
Our other podcast. We have a group on Facebook.
Yeah, look us up.
Check it all out.
Dr. Clincast, Land Nation, throw in a Walnut Grove cast. It's a lot of good entertainment out there. That's it.